Today, rates will rise, but let's play some number wang on the CPI too. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, web that is posts covering finance and property news. Today we got the latest CPI data from the ABS, and it was a bit of a shocker as the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, rose 3.8% in the 12 months to December, up from 3.4% to November. And the trimmed mean inflation was 3.3% in the 12 months to December 25, up from 3.2% in the 12 months to November. The largest contributor to annual inflation in December was housing, up 5.5%. That was followed by food and non-alcoholic beverages, up 3.4%, and recreation and culture, which rose 4.4%. The policy-relevant trimmed mean inflation rose by 0.9% in the December quarter, which the RBA still will see as the most important measure, and that's 3.3% in the 12 months to December, up from 3.2%. As Alex Joyner from the IFM Investors noted, trimmed mean inflation accelerated to 3.9% on a six-month annualized basis. Along with the upside surprise on headline inflation, there's a strong case for the RBA to hike next week, he said on Twitter, X. This, of course, has all been expected, and the outturn lifts the probability of that rate rise from the RBA as soon as next week, because the results were higher than the RBA had expected, and they were already signalling concern before about the hot CPI. And of course, last week, we had the strong jobs report. It's worth recalling that the RBA has two mandates to ensure both price stability and full employment, two goals that often require balancing competing economic pressures. The first of those mandates, price stability, means the RBA needs to maintain a 2 to 3% annual inflation target measured by the CPI. The current inflation rate and the building momentum are obviously well above the RBA's target. The second mandate, full employment, requires the RBA to aim for the maximum sustainable level of employment without triggering inflation. Labour force data released last week by the ABS showed that the nation's official unemployment rate eased to a seven-month low of 4.1% in December, whereas the latest statement on monetary policy from the RBA forecasts that unemployment would rise to 4.4% and remain at this level for the next 2 years. With Australia's headline unemployment rate falling to that seven-month low of 4.1% and underlying inflation remaining significantly above the 3% upper bound target in the fourth quarter, the RBA is highly likely to lift rates at the next month's monetary policy meeting. And comparing Australia with other advanced economies, we appear to be walking a different path. On a year-on-year basis, we're at 3.63% and rising fast, whereas the rest, though seeing a bit of a spike, recorded a rate of 2.7%. In fact, every other nation bar the UK has inflation under 3%, as Senator Canavan highlighted. So the headline is ugly. And below the waterline, non-tradables or domestically generated inflation was one of the main culprits. Administered price inflation has accelerated sharply, which may be an issue for the RBA given its policy does not have the same effect on that space. The likelihood being is it has to work, well, a lot harder to dampen inflation elsewhere, although others do see the data a bit differently, with Antipodean Macro noting that for those pushing the view that it's all government-administered prices pushing up Australia's underlying inflation measures, we have some news for you, it's not. And that is the point, really. Wherever you look, it's wall-to-wall inflation. But buried within the data, there are a series of number wangs. For example, the Statistics Bureau began publishing a comprehensive monthly measure of inflation in November, addressing a long-standing weakness in the nation's economic data. Whilst hailing the change, Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock has said that the interest rate-setting board will continue to focus on the quarterly trimmed mean core figure, at least for the time being. The previously published quarterly data has been referenced and aligned to the new monthly CPI series. September 2025 series will serve as a link period where the index equals 100. And while the level of the quarterly indices have changed due to re-referencing, the percentage movements of the index have not been revised. And significantly, the ABS will no longer publish a year-on-year consumer price index. in its quarterly report as it shifts to a monthly inflation framework that aligns its reporting more closely to international practice. Rather, the new headline inflation measure will be derived from the full monthly CPI, according to the chief statistician, David Gruen. Users who wish to calculate year-on-year inflation from the quarterly data will still be able to do so, he added. We've decided not to publish annual movements using the quarterly series because having now moved to the complete monthly CPI to derive the headline measure of Australia's inflation rate, we do not want to cause confusion by publishing two official measures of headline annual inflation, Gruen said. So the ABS will continue to publish quarterly price indices to two decimal places, as well as quarterly price changes to support indexation requirements in contracts and legislation. But this means that while the ABS will publish the building blocks for users that need to derive a quarterly headline inflation number, the monthly CPI is now the official inflation measure. Now, to add to the number whang, since 2018, the ABS has updated the CPI weights annually. The updated weights are usually implemented in the CPI for the month of January and March quarters. But with the introduction of the complete monthly CPI in late 2025, the ABS has decided to postpone the next CPI weighting update to January 2027. The ABS will monitor household spending patterns throughout 2026 and consider a mid-year weight if needed. But this means the reduced weighting for power, thanks to the government support last year, will be retained, potentially understating the impact of the power price hikes that we're now seeing. Then we've got the government's spin on the results. Jim Chalmers on X said, unwelcome but unsurprising new figures from the ABS shows inflation is much lower than when we came to office, but still higher than we'd like. Temporary factors like the end of energy rebates drove some of the increase. Jim, you did that. With inflation still expected to decline over time. We know people are still under pressure, and that's why our responsible costs of living relief is so important. Actually, Chalmers will be alarmed by the prospect of rates rising rather than falling or staying flat this year. And with a rate hike likely, he certainly won't want Bullock to directly blame excessive government spending for Australia's inability to get inflation under control. So he attempted actually to preempt that. The Treasurer was particularly pointing his public messaging both to the community and the bank. The Reserve Bank has made it clear in recent times that public spending is not the issue, he declared. But his refusal to acknowledge that inflationary pressures are fueled by federal spending rising to a decades-long record of 26.9% of gross domestic product this year will come as a surprise to RBA economists as much as to market economists. This is because no matter how delicately it's phrased by the central bank, the obvious failure of government, state and federal, to reduce spending is clearly of great concern to the RBA. December's headline inflation rose to 3.8%, and the more important underlying inflation to 3.3%. That's well above the RBA's expected target, and it's quite possible that any rate rise next week will not be the last. Chalmers even insisted if the budget and public spending was the problem, there would not have been three rate cuts last year. If the Treasurer cannot accept responsibility for the problem, he cannot be relied on to fix it, retorted Shadow Treasurer Ted O'Brien. And the spin came thick and fast. The big story is the recovery in the private sector, argued Chalmers, dismissing claims of the levels of government spending by a range of market economists. If you look at our record on the budget, what you see is we've been able to get the budget in substantially better nick than what we inherited from our predecessors. Actually, annual movements prior to April 2025 were calculated by comparing each quarter to the same quarter in the previous year. But from April 2025, those movements are going to be calculated by comparing each month to the same month in the previous year. Annual goods inflation was 3.4% in the 12 months to December, up from 3.3% to November. The main contributor was electricity, which rose 21.5% in the 12 months to December. Annual services inflation was 4.1% in the 12 months to December, up from 3.6% to November. And the main contributors were domestic, holiday travel and accommodation, up 9.6%, and rents up 3.9%. Annual housing inflation was 5.5% to December, driven by electricity costs, which rose 21.5% in the 12 months of December. The increase in electricity costs mostly related to state government electricity rebates in Queensland and Western Australia being used up by households, and this was up from a 19.7% rise in the 12 months to November. If you exclude the impact of the Commonwealth and state government electricity rebates over the previous year, electricity prices rose 4.6% in the 12 months to December. That was unchanged from the 12 months to November and reflects annual price reviews from energy retailers in July 2025. But you can see here how much Chalmers' early intervention is really now coming to haunt us. Rental prices rose 3.9% over 12 months to December 2025. That's down from 4% in November. And annual inflation for rents has eased over the past 12 months due to stable vacancy rates in most capital cities. Annual inflation for food and non-alcoholic beverages was 3.4% to December, up from 3.3% in the 12 months of November. Meals out and takeaway prices rose 3.5% in the year to December, driven by rises in wages and ingredient costs. Prices for meat and seafood rose 4.4% in the 12 months to December, and prices for beef and lamb both rose by more than 10% over the past year, with strong overseas demand for Australian red meat leading to price rises. Fruit and vegetable prices rose 4% in the 12 months to December, up from a 2.7% increase in November. Vegetable prices rose 3.8% in the year to December, with weather-related shortages leading to higher prices for cucumbers, zucchini, and capsicums. And fruit prices rose 4.2% in the 12 months to December, with reduced supplies of apples leading to price rises. Annual inflation for recreation and culture was 4.4% to December, up from 2% in November. Domestic holiday travel and accommodation prices rose 9.6% in 12 months to December, up from 3.3% in the 12 months to November. In monthly terms, prices for domestic holiday travel and accommodation rose by 8.2% due to strong demand in the lead up to Christmas, the summer school holidays, and major events such as the Ashes Test Cricket Series. International holiday travel and accommodation also contributed to the rise, up 24.4%. as prices for international airfares rose across many popular destinations during the holiday season. Oh, and across the states, the numbers varied, with Brisbane saw an inflation at 5.2%, Perth at 4.4%, Hobart at 3.8%, Sydney at 3.7%, Canberra and Adelaide at 3.3%, Melbourne and Darwin at 3.1%. So standing back, yes, we have an inflation problem. Yes, we're going to get rate rises. And yes, we're going to see more spin. Because, of course, nobody really wants to take responsibility. The RBA's interest rate strategy was probably off, but as is the government's spending patterns, and its ability to try and support the economy is still, of course, in question now, given the CPI that we've got and given the GDP that we've got. But it is worth highlighting that one of the growth areas now is investment in and around the AI story, data centers. So that's going to be a pressure on the budgets ahead as well. And that could put more inflationary pressure in the system too, because it's going to lift potentially demand for water and power and, of course, more people. So there's a lot to play out here, but the bottom line is simply this. Rates are going higher and there's plenty of number wanging about. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching and I'll see you again next time.